It's time for the Canadian Baseball Network podcast with your host, Dustin Saraceni.
Welcome back to the CBN podcast and welcome to the stage one of our own, one of the hardest working baseball writers in the business, a Society for American Baseball Research Award winner for her story, I'm Different, I'm the Same, a statistician for the Toronto Blue Jays, a writer for the Canadian Baseball Network, Prep Baseball Report, Hardball Times, Baseball America, Baseball Canada, a graduate of Scout School, and a press officer for the Australian Baseball League. It's Alexis Brednicki. Alexis, I'm almost out of breath running through all of those. Did I miss anything?
That's a good question. I don't think so.
So I'm pretty spot on there?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, perfect. Thanks for joining the show, and obviously incredible work covering Team Canada at the WBC, might I add. But before we get into that, I kind of want to quickly talk about your article. As I previously mentioned, I'm Different, I'm the Same, where you kind of outline certain difficulties of a female sports reporter, but you also talk about how you wouldn't change those experiences for the world. Was that kind of something like it was a piece where you wanted to reach out to young women who possibly want to follow in your footsteps? And what made you want to write something like that?
I wasn't even ever planning on that piece being published.
Oh, okay.
I was just kind of having a tough time, and if I said I wouldn't change anything for the world, there's probably a couple changes I would make, but I was never really planning on that piece seeing the light of day, and I sent it to someone just to kind of, I wrote it just to kind of get my thoughts out, and I sent it to someone to get their thoughts, and then I guess, long story short, the Hardball Times ended up publishing it, but I definitely was just kind of getting some things out of my head and onto paper, and I'm grateful that, you know, the Hardball Times ended up publishing it, and that I ended up sending it there, and that they both recognized that piece, but it was originally not meant for the light of day.
So, yeah, you said you're happy that people were able to read it to him, and I'm sure you've gotten some positive feedback from it as well.
Yeah, the feedback has been overwhelmingly positive for that one, which I am also very grateful for because it was kind of personal and scary to have out there about me. So I'm definitely grateful for the positive feedback. Of course, there's always some that isn't so positive, but the overwhelming majority has been pretty good.
And for those who haven't read it, obviously it's a strong piece. I highly recommend it. But clearly you've devoted a huge love for the game and even more for Canadian baseball. Was there a moment when you first started out at the very beginning where you thought, man, I really want to do this for a living?
No, I wanted originally to be a lawyer. I was going to go to law school out of my undergraduate, and then I remembered that I just didn't like school very much. So I searched for shorter graduate programs, and one in sports, and I found the sports journalism program at Centennial College that I took post-grad, and then I was offered the opportunity with the Blue Jays while I was still in that program. It was a January to December 3 semester program, and I got hired by the Blue Jays in May. And that was really, I guess, the beginning of me deciding I was going to stick with baseball and try to make it something that I could do on a regular basis.
Well, I'm sure you're kind of glad that you stuck with it because you've done a ton for baseball at this side of the border. Whether it be your commentary at Pitch Talks, your coverage of amateur baseball, to what you're able to do at the World Baseball Classic this year. I mean, even when that finished, you made your way to Dunedin for some Blue Jays action. But I want to talk a little bit more about the red and white. You scroll through your Twitter timeline, and you kind of get a variety of Canadian content. Bob Elliott told me you had the best week of any Canadian journalist covering Team Canada, writing lengthy stories on 22 countless players, plus working for Baseball America. One, where did you find the time to do all that? And two, where does being around Team Canada at the World Baseball Classic kind of rank in your eyes?
I always love covering Team Canada. It's always a fun environment. Every big tournament, like the World Baseball Classic, is a playoff atmosphere, so it's fun to be around that. And then the players, especially the Canadian players, and I know a lot of the other teams as well, it's like a family reunion when they get together again, and everybody kind of knows everybody, and it helps me that everybody knows me, or at least they did at the World Baseball Classic, so that was helpful and easier to do. And in terms of the coverage, I talked to a few guys beforehand, before the tournament. Eric Wood was one of the players who I talked to, who was very excited to get his first chance to play in a Team Canada uniform because he never had never played at any level for the Canadian team. Rowan Wick, I talked to ahead of time as well. He's a pitcher now. He was an outfielder when he did play for the Canadian junior national team, and that was 7 years ago in Thunder Bay in 2010 at the World Junior Championships. So I talked to a few guys kind of ahead of time before I got down there, it's easy for me to do more coverage when I'm at something like that because I really enjoy every bit of it, and I do want to talk to everyone that I possibly can talk to, and I want to, you know, touch on all of the topics for my own interest, and it just makes it easier for me to do that much to share with other people.
Right, and outside the players that you mentioned, there are obviously a few awesome human interest stories via Freddie Freeman, who we'll talk a little bit more about later, Ryan Dempster, Eric Gagne. If you had to choose, what was kind of your favorite story from the Canadian dugout this year?
I guilty like this with Bob, but I really enjoyed talking to the players who had never played for any Canadian team before. That's kind of always my favorite. So Eric Wood obviously was very excited to get his chance to play. George Kakaris and Mike Reeves were two catchers who had never played for Team Canada before. And I had even talked to George Kakaris about it before, because he played for Team Greece in the Olympics in Athens, and it had just never worked out for him, so he was very excited. And Mike Reeves, being in the Blue Jays organization, has heard a lot about Team Canada experiences from guys he's played with the Blue Jays, like his teammate, Shane Dawson, Michael Krause, who was also on the team and played in the Blue Jays organization, Justin Atkinson and Tom Robson, who played on the junior national team. And it was really exciting for him. And then Kevin Chapman and Freddie Freeman, who were, I think, Greg Hamilton, the director of national teams for Baseball Canada, he called them creative Canadians, which I like that term. So they are obviously the American players on the team who have a connection through their parents to the country. So I enjoyed talking to them just kind of to figure out, you know, how Canadian these guys actually are, or how they ended up on the team, and what they know about Canadian baseball. So I enjoy that. I really like talking to the guys who never played for Team Canada before. And then for me, also, especially with the guys who will never play baseball again. Mm-hmm. There were a few of those guys on the team. Chris LaRue retired. He wanted his last appearance to be with Team Canada. Pete Orr had already retired. He's a pro scout for the Milwaukee Brewers, and they needed him to play, and so he did. And Jonathan Mallow, he is a pharmaceutical rep, and so he had also retired, but, you know, they needed those guys in the middle infield, and it was great to kind of talk to them. And then Ryan Dempster, obviously a little bit of a different situation, but those guys, knowing that that was the last, you know, competitive baseball that they'll ever play, that was something that I wanted to write about, and something I wanted to talk to them about too.
Yeah, and it's great to actually bring some of these players, if you're not familiar with Baseball Canada, to bring these type of players to light. Obviously one of them isn't Freddie Freeman, but the players that you talked about, Chris LaRue, it's great for him to end his career in a Team Canada jersey. And even it goes down the list, as you said, Jamie Romack, George Kataris, Tyler O'Neill, I'm sure people have heard of him before, but some Canadians and baseball fans also dreamt of a team that included not only Freddie Freeman and those other big names, but Joey Votto and Justin Morneau. Do you think that was ever a possibility?
I wrote an article about Joey Votto not playing in the WBC, I think on New Year's Eve, and obviously that's something that is disappointing for the country. You want to see the country's best players represent the country, and you want the team to perform to the best of their ability. And I was conflicted when I wrote it, and I'm conflicted now because I clearly would love to see Joey Votto play for Team Canada, and I think that could do big things for the game in Canada. But Joey Votto, when all is said and done, could be the best player the country has ever produced. And if he thinks that not playing in the WBC is what he needs to get ready for a season, I'm not going to be the person who says that he's wrong about that, because he has done things that far exceed what I could ever do or imagine to do. And, I think he knows best what he needs to do. And as hard as it is to not see some of Canada's major league players play for Canada, I think that everybody kind of has to do what's right for them. And he knows what he needs to do, and that's what he thinks he needs to do, or what he does need to do.
Right, and while we're on the topic, as we've been talking about, clearly there were a lot of top Canadians missing from the event, not only from Team Canada, but from the States, and the list goes on. We named a few already, but even like a James Paxton or a Jameson Taillon, Michael Saunders, obviously Russell Martin would have been nice, to name a few that could have made a difference. And obviously a part of the reason why many bow out is because of the timing. In your eyes, is there kind of a better time to hold the tournament? I feel like there has to be a way to grow participation at the World Baseball Classic somehow.
I know people have talked about playing some preliminary games in the spring, and then kind of instead of having the All-Star game or during the All-Star break, having the WBC finals. I don't think there's ever really going to be a time that everyone would agree would be the best time.
Right.
And I'm not sure what it would have taken to get some of those players out there. Like Russell Martin wanted to play, and Major League Baseball declined to insure him. And obviously, if I were him, I wouldn't want to be on the hook for that contract myself. And there was another player, Evan Rutsky. He's in the minor leagues with the Yankees, and MLB declined to insure him as well. So that was an issue, I think, beyond Russell Martin, that maybe some people aren't aware of. And then, some players, their teams didn't want them to go, and I think that's something that I don't think anyone is going to say publicly, but that's an issue. And for teams to get on board, I don't think it's going to change if it's at a different time of the year. I don't know if there's no perfect time to do it.
Right, and speaking of the roster, I know it's still 4 years away. Do you have a best-case scenario for how the roster will look come 2021? Obviously, there's some earned experience this year when you look at Naylor, even though we only got a few at-bats, but he's definitely one of those guys that can headline that roster.
Definitely Josh Naylor would be expected to have a bigger role, I think. Sean Jameson has been a shortstop at the last couple of international tournaments for Canada, and he had off-season surgery, so that was why he was ruled out of this tournament. And there are young players like Adam Hall, who will be the highest Canadian selected in the draft this year, obviously, but he's a high schooler. He's 17 years old until next month. Charles LeBlanc is probably another guy to look at on the middle infield. He played at Pittsburgh and is now playing minor league baseball, also very young. It will be a much younger middle infield in 4 years. The outfield, you still want to have Tyler O'Neill is only 21 years old.
Right.
He, of course, you would hope to still have him there. Dalton Pompey, obviously, again. There are a couple of young outfielders in college right now who I guess potentially could be there. Tristan Clark is doing some big things for the University of New Orleans right now. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility to kind of hope Michael Saunders is there 4 years from now, too. Catching-wise, you could still, Kellen Deglin was ruled out because he was injured. He had to back out last minute. Noah Naylor is a top Canadian draft pick for next year, but I don't think it would be too far-fetched to think that even if he wasn't starting games, he could be on a roster like that then. Dustin Hull is with the Brewers. He's caught for Team Canada at senior national tournaments previously. He was at Premier 12 in 2015. I know some people have mentioned Andrew Yearsey's name as well. He was selected in the second round of last year's draft. He's with the Diamondbacks right now. Pitching-wise, things could look pretty different. Also, you probably would want, guys like Cal Quantrill and Mike Soroka to be doing big things by then. I think you would still want, James Paxton, Nick Pivetta, Evan Rutsky, Shane Dawson, Ryan Kellogg, Rowan Wick, Jason Therrien, guys like that who were already on the team. Jordan Romano, who is in the Blue Jays organization, who played for Team Italy at the World Baseball Classic this year. And, I don't think there's any shortage of young players coming up. It's just, I think, a matter of where they're at in their careers compared to where guys are at in their careers for the other teams, which still might be, it still might not be on the same level, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I guess it's all about participation and getting the right guys at the right time. Obviously, the future for Canadian baseball is huge, especially with the programs that we've been able to build up over the years. But as we look forward to the future of Canadian baseball, let's look back to last year where there were 14 Canadians in the majors, with Regina's Dustin Mollekin being the last to debut with the Detroit Tigers. Who's next, Alexis? And certainly, as we said before, it certainly could be a few on the team this season. Who's next to get to that big league level?
I definitely have to put my money on Tyler O'Neill.
Right.
He has to be the next one, I think. Yeah. I'm gonna put all my money on Tyler O'Neill.
All your chips on Tyler O'Neill.
Yep.
Hey, he's having a tremendous spring training again. I feel like it's just a matter of time, right?
Interesting to see the Mariners keep him in Double-A all last year.
Yeah.
For the majority of the season, he kind of led the Southern League in all Triple Crown categories, which would be a great accomplishment. But also, if somebody wins a Triple Crown at the minor league level, you have to wonder, why aren't they at the next level? It's nice to be an All-Star in the minor leagues, but if you're an All-Star, why aren't you at that next level? So I think for me, that was interesting to see him stay there all year. Obviously, he had a great year. He's doing some big things, and he's grown a lot as a player, especially during his time with Team Canada. The Pan Am Games, Premier 12, being with those guys has made a big difference for him and his career, and I hope it continues to do so, and I hope he continues to contribute to Team Canada as well.
Yeah, I feel like all Canadian baseball fans wish the best for him, of course, and back your statements. But Alexis, as we take a step back, how powerful is Canada in your eyes after a winless World Baseball Classic? The program has a future, as we talked about, but what is there anything that needs to be done to further progression, or is it just a matter of participation?
I mean, Canada always is going to be at a disadvantage to teams like the United States, just in terms of population and players.
Yeah.
Last year in the Major Leagues, Canada had 13 players, and even if all 13 of those players have played at the World Baseball Classic, I think it's always going to be tough. It's a smaller country. Baseball is not the number one sport in the country. It never will be. It doesn't have the weather to do so. The team will definitely get better and be able to compete at a stronger level. And I think that this was definitely a down year. But looking at kind of the way Canada has drafted, 2002 was probably the best draft year Canada's ever had. And then 2015... might not be that far behind, but it's hard to know until 10 years later. But if you're looking at that and you're looking ahead, the future is definitely very bright. And the way that the Canadian national team program is growing at the junior level gives a lot of hope for the future. They do huge things at the junior national team level. every year guys are getting drafted higher. There are more guys getting drafted. I think it's exciting for the future.
Before I let you go, the World Baseball Classic is clearly more than just a tournament at face value. It was a way to watch baseball cultures clash, I guess, on an international stage. It became bigger than the game. For example, in Puerto Rico, stores were running out of blonde dye as they followed their team. In Ken Rosenthal's new piece, he stated that not a single murder was reported in Puerto Rico last weekend. What's your stance on the overall value of the World Baseball Classic?
I love it, but I love international tournaments in general.
Yeah.
So I'm probably not the typical audience for it, but being in Miami and seeing the way that people responded to Colombia, Dominican, the United States, it was phenomenal. I think, people continue to get more interested in it. They had more viewers, more fans. So sorry. I think that it can continue to grow. It'll be interesting to see what they do in 4 years after baseball is in the Olympics in 2020 in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully people can get excited for that. But that will be a tournament with minor leaguers as well, because it will be in the middle of the summer. So it'll probably be non-40-man guys. So if teams can get their best players and bring them out and have games the way that they have and fans the way that they did, I think it'll just get better and bigger.
Perfect, Alexis. Thanks for joining the show. I appreciate that. And again, big thank you for keeping Canadians close to the game, especially during the World Baseball Classic.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.